CliffCentral.com.
The whole of South Africa is excited about today, even if it's just because,
oh my God, I've never protested before.
And that's fine. Don't let anyone tell you you're not allowed to protest. Everybody is equal under the law except our president, who seems to be able to do whatever the hell he wants. And that's what this morning's really about. So if you're going to go and join one of these protests, then you will probably meet one of the people that we're going to talk about and talk to this morning. Among them, Brent Lindekew from The Good Stuff here on CliffCentral.com. We'll get to him in a second. Lucas, who we got on so far? Tell me who we got over there. Come in here quickly. Because Lucas has lined up a whole bunch of our correspondents all across the country. We're even going to Limpopo.
Mm. Oh.
You believe that?
Yes, I can.
Okay, Lucas, who we got for Limpopo?
We'll be talking to Paila.
Paila. Okay. All right.
Yeah, we'll be talking to Paila.
All right.
In a second.
All right. And then, yeah. Didn't you know? Didn't you know that that microphone is there to amplify the sound of your voice so we can all hear?
I think my mind is that. I'm sure it's busy on the other side.
So Paila from Limpopo. Who else have we got?
We also have to. We will speak into Lionel.
Oh, Lionel from The Laws of Life.
Yes.
Okay.
So we're going to just jump onto Paila right now. So right. Let me see if
Let's
he's on the line.
Let's get him. And then we get Brent on.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then we'll speak to Ranjeni later.
Okay, cool.
Very good. Busy, busy, busy this morning. Okay, if you are going to be attending any of these marches, you want to tell us about your preparations, then you can get hold of us in Cliff Central, one word, on the Skype. You can WhatsApp us, 0797482090. You can WeChat us. Anushka says, I literally got goosebumps while driving through Crowthorne on my way to Midrand. The horse riding community is out in full force with their Zuma Must Fall posters.
Are they on horses?
They're on horseback. I love that.
Oh,
isn't that sweet? Yeah. I think that's so cool.
Wow, we got a picture sent to us earlier about, you know, the sign, someone driving in Cape Town into one of those hoot as you drive past sort of signs. So that's also going underway in Cape Town currently.
Listen, this is so, like, it's at a bit of an adrenaline rush, right? There are a lot of people who are very, very amped up for this whole thing. And even if, look, I don't want it to be a disaster. I don't think anybody wants it to be a disaster. But if hundreds of thousands of people pitch up on the streets today, yes, that'll be a sign. Huh? That's the real South Africa then. Here's Elson from Zimbabwe. He says to me, that stupid Kaya Dlanga tweeted that Zimbabweans warned us. Well, count your blessings. At least you guys know that Zuma will be out in 2019. Come what may. Here, the program is open-ended.
Hmm.
Yeah, Bob's been there, what, 35 years now?
Sure. Yeah, he's been there longer than some of us have been alive.
Quite honestly, yeah. That's such an accurate statement
to
make.
It's also the truth.
Oh, my goodness.
Lots of messages on Twitter this morning, but let's go to Paila. Hi, Paila, you in Limpopo. What are you guys doing in Limpopo this Friday or Saturday? Is he not there? Who are we going to get instead? Oh, Brent. You're going to go to Brent. All right. Mm. So we can't get one of our first correspondent. What a fail. Epic fail. Mm. I've been trying to eat apples. Have you noticed this?
Yes. But
why apples in particular?
Yeah. And why green apples?
I love them. They're acidic.
Ooh. My face is like scrunching up instinctively.
To make it even more acidic, I dip it in salt.
Mm-hmm. Wow. You are a strange one.
It's fantastic. Who we got? Brent?
Okay.
All right. Hey, Linda Q. What's up?
Good morning, Mr. Cliff.
Yeah, I'm good, dude. Listen, you got back from India just the other day. How was that?
Wow. I don't even think I can put into words. I haven't really processed the trip that I went on. It was maybe the most phenomenal thing I've ever done in my whole entire life. My expectations of Kerala, India were nowhere even close to the beautiful country that it was. And, you know, like the eat, pray, love stuff where people go and travel and they find themselves and all of those great things.
Careful, you're going to make Sia jealous.
It's a thing. It is a thing.
Well, I think I didn't find myself because I wasn't lost, but I certainly learned a whole bunch more about life and about how the other side of the world live. And they say you can only learn more about your life if you see how other people do live. And we certainly did do that. And one of the words, I love that we can swear on Cliff Central. Mm. So one of the things that I am planning to try and hold onto is throwing corporate shit fuckery out the window, because
clearly, so eloquent,
you know, the people of Kerala, they are intelligent and independent and literate, and they travel the world, and yet they still come home to humble things where materialistic stuff doesn't matter. So it's certainly something I can learn from.
I know that's not what we want to talk to you about today, so we'll catch up about that at a later stage. But I see you got back and you immediately tried to claim credit for organizing today's marches.
Are you even joking? I started a petition last Friday from India. Man, I woke up last week Friday in this beautiful land. Yeah. And the time difference means that I was waking up at about 3 a.m. Yeah. South African time. So when I got up, I just saw absolute turmoil on social media and the news, and already the people that are suffering from insomnia were all over social media and just doing what South Africans tend to do best, and that is complain and moan and sort of, you know, it was very negative, and it was a very negative space that I saw our country in. So I created another petition, which maybe it's not the right thing because it's old and the last petition didn't achieve anything. But the great thing that it did, almost 50,000 people had signed that. And what petitions allow people to do is have a direct line of contact with whoever has signed it. So if you sign any petition, you are opting in to get information. And that means that you've got 50,000 people to try and seed something, which it's all about action, right, Gareth? Action is mm-hmm. what makes the difference. You can either stand back and you can watch from the sidelines, or you can be part of history. And unfortunately, there's enough people in South Africa and expats around the world that are gutful. They're just done. The government, the corruption, it's something that South Africans face every day, and I think it's something that we're sick of. And collectively, there was this online voice of people starting to voice their frustrations and voice their opinions more so than ever before. When Nenegate happened, it was bad. But this time, I think it was a hell of a lot worse. All right. And there were more people.
Now, what are you doing march-wise today? Where are you going to be?
So I'm joining a whole bunch of people in Pretoria. I'm going to be leaving at about 9. I want to miss traffic and if there is any sort of delay. So I'm leaving Johannesburg side at 9. I'm going to be making my way to Pretoria. The reason I've chosen Pretoria, because there's so many different marches that are taking place today, but I just feel that Pretoria is – I don't want to say this, but it's not as political, which yeah. it is anyway, because it's political. But there's so many different people that are.
It's not being organized by just one party, and it's to the president's office, for God's sake. That's the cause of most of our concern at the moment. So it makes 100%. Sense. Plus, it's our capital city. You know, if that one is the biggest, people will notice.
If you look at it, it's Save South Africa, Section 27, 101 Veterans, the National Religious Leaders Council, the Ahmed Kathrada Foundation, Outer have gotten involved with the Pretoria one. And I didn't – politics corrupts anyway. So as much as I love what political parties are currently doing, for them to jump on a bandwagon when the actual problem is coming from – a political side and the government side, the only thing we can do is, as South Africans, stand together. And if that's non-profit organizations, if that's like Save South Africa, people who really care about South Africa, South Africans and the economy, then that's what I want to sort of put my name on and be part of. I'm going today. I'm marching. I'm going to be there. I'm going to be doing a little bit of video recording as well on my travels in Kerala. I was with 30 of the top bloggers and influencers from around the world, and they've taught me a thing or two about video, so I'm going to try my hand at that. Good. And just try to capture sort of what's going on in the moment.
Good.
And more so, I just I want to be part of the right side of history today. And I think that if enough people stand together and if enough people let their voices be heard, only good things can come from that. And that's something that is hopeful and that we can hold on to. I will not support a bad government any longer.
All right.
I will not.
Sylvia from Santon wants to know, how many vitality points do I get if I march?
Well, Sylvia from Santon, you will get as many vitality points as you allow your feet to take you. And I know that there's been this ridiculous blog that's been shared all over social media since yesterday. I think her name is Loudmouth Chick. And she wrote a very condescending almost letter to protesters who are middle class and protesting for the first time. And I need to tell you that the middle class have been part of the protest revolution since the beginning of South Africa. If you look at photos, it's always been the middle class that are joining with the lower class and the upper class. Because here's the reality. Sylvia has the ability to climb on a plane and leave this country, but she's choosing not to. And here's the reality as well, that Sylvia from Santon, when the shit hits the fan and the economy fails, her buying her roast beef from Woolies is not going to matter. It's the poorest of the poor that will suffer, and it's up to the middle class and the Sylvias and the vitality point seekers to put their flipping tackies on and hit the roads.
All right.
Get out there and make your voice heard.
Thank you very much, man. And we'll chat to you a little bit later. Thanks, Brent.
You're welcome. Have a really good day. Hashtag Save South Africa, yo.
Right.
Thanks, Brent.
Thanks. He's taking to the streets today. Brent Nidecue from The Good Stuff. Mm. Someone who believes in social entrepreneurship.
Someone who
goes around collecting the good stuff and giving it to you every Tuesday here on cliffcentral.com. All right, we're going to go to some other people in a second. Mubs, you want to give us a little bit of news?
Yes, indeed. Quite a big international story involving Donald Trump, Syria, Russia. Okay.
Ooh, that sounds exciting.
No, it's not exciting. It's actually very devastating. And Donald Trump seems to be getting quite a bit of flack from Americans, seemingly from both sides, you know, those who are anti-Trump and also those who do support Trump. So Donald Trump has revealed on Thursday that he ordered a targeted military strike against an airfield in Syria, from which a deadly chemical attack was launched this week. According to some news reports, at least 86 people were killed in this chemical attack, 26 of those being children. Mm-hmm. There were some, you know, just heartbreaking images going around all over social media of basically people who have been killed by this chemical, which now has been revealed to be sarin. Pictures of children foaming at the mouth, people convulsing. It's really very devastating. And so immediately after that attack, Russia challenged the United States President Donald Trump to set out his strategy on Syria. Exactly what do you plan to do, Mr. President? Mm. This is because previously Trump had argued against removing Bashar al-Assad from power, and it is President Bashar al-Assad's regime that is being blamed for this chemical attack that has led to the deaths of these people. And so Hillary Clinton was quoted saying that America should definitely bomb, you know, or should definitely initiate an attack in Syria. Donald Trump has since said that this is exactly what he has done, and seemingly a lot of Americans now very upset with their president, who, you know, had said that he would not involve himself in this situation, but now has chosen to involve himself. And also, you know, with Russia getting involved as well.
Damned if you do, damned if you don't.
Exactly. But I mean, the saddest part about all of this for me is, you know, just civilians in Syria, like you and me, who were waking up, going about their business day to day, got caught up in political dealings, you know, being controlled by political leaders, and now 86 of them are dead.
Mm.
I mean, it's just, I don't know.
I'm getting pictures from Bayes Nordea where people are starting to assemble at the Bayes Nordea off ramp, and it's turning into quite a thing. I mean, this is right now live. There are bunches of people, cars that are stopped. It looks like a hell of an assembly of people.
Goodness.
I don't know if this was one of the organized ones or if it just spontaneously happened, but it looks like thousands already at the Bayes Nordea off ramp in Johannesburg. We'll get to some of those in a moment, but let's go to John in Limpopo. Hey, John, what's happening?
Good, how's it, man?
Yeah, good. What are you guys doing?
Actually, here there's going to be marches, but obviously from private sectors, people who are working for the government will want not to engage on the demonstration. But where I am right now, I'm just 2 minutes away from the Mall of the North, which is one of the places where that is supposed to be busy right now as I speak. But there's only a few activities, a few cars, and I'm 2 minutes away from the N1, and there's no moving cars. So it clearly shows that
This is in Polokwane, huh?
Pardon me?
In Polokwane, right?
Yeah, this is in Polokwane.
Okay.
And the city of Polokwane.
Now, in some ways, the people of Limpopo have even more reason to feel aggrieved. That's the place where we've had textbook sagas, where we've had that that horrible situation with Vuwani, where we've had small rural communities that have just been completely ignored by the government. Very bad service delivery in that province. So in some ways, maybe the people in Gauteng don't know how lucky they are, even if they are protesting today, because you guys in Limpopo have got it much worse, right?
You know, just mentioning that, I think it's going to be even worse because just 2 days back, I happened to be speaking to the spokesperson of the Pro-Makado Demarcation Body in Vuwani, and was just mentioning that they are going to be disengaging with the government. Like, Vuwani is no longer under the government. What does that mean to the ANC? Are they getting the message? What if other communities follow on that trend? Yes, they could have survived the top three who apologized for, you know, after they criticized President Jacob Zuma publicly. They went back and said, we're sorry, everything is fine now. The top six could be on the side of President Jacob Zuma, but the question is, will all South Africans vote for the ANC? Because if you look on the previous voting, I think ANC was defeated by ANC. People who voted for other parties, they voted for them because they were not satisfied with how ANC is carrying business in South Africa. And I'm afraid that's going to be worse. Me, personally, I will punish them when it comes to voting.
Hmm. Well, where are you going to? Are you going to be at this mall itself for the protest in Polokwane today?
It was intended to be carried in town, but I'm not exactly sure what time and proof of it.
John, thank you so much. Your report has been terrific, but I'm afraid the line that we've got isn't so great. But I really appreciate your update. Thank you so much. So even in Polokwane, they're busy planning protests. You know, many people think Limpopo and Mpumalanga, the northwest, these are very strong ANC provinces. They're run by the three premiers of the Premier League. And here we have people protesting even in Polokwane. So I think today might be a little bit bigger than people thought it might be. And a good thing it is. And what he was saying about that Vuwani demarcation board discussion, that's very, very serious stuff. They've disengaged with the government.
Hmm.
I mean, these people are now, they're sick of it. They're not even prepared to talk to them anymore. Some very serious things happening. All right, we're going to take some more calls. We'll get to Ranjini Munsami in a moment or two. Ranjini has been working overtime lately, pumping out articles, going to every press conference. She's been looking at the ANC from inside and from out. Just the other day in the Daily Maverick, she published an incredible column, in which she outlined the ongoing saga within the ANC, something that she's uniquely able to do. She has incredible and impeccable sources within the ANC who fill her in on what's actually going on. So she's like an insider. And she also has people on the outside who are very, very well versed in how the ANC actually works. So we'll get to Ranjini later on. On the line at the moment is Lionel, who's on The Laws of Life, one of our premier shows here on cliffcentral.com every Tuesday. Lionel, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Gareth. How are you?
I'm good, man. Now, Lionel, you've always been an activist and you're not shy to share your opinions. Today, are you planning to take part in protests? And if so, where?
I'm actually planning to take part in the march in Pretoria. But quite interestingly, I went there last night just to really assess the mood and to see if the march will proceed as what has been reported in the media. But there were a bit of technical glitches and legal glitches because when I got there around 8 o'clock until 9, mm-hmm. Mark Harewood was actually reported that he was in the High Court trying to get permission for the match to proceed this morning. So there was also another technical glitches where some of them people who had actually paid for transport were reporting that the bus people that they paid for transport for today's march were reporting that they could no longer be able to assist them. And some reported that ANC had actually booked all the buses. So as a result, they were told that there won't be any more transport to transport the people mm-hmm. from wherever areas they were coming from to come to Pretoria. So it is just seems like there is not going to be much support for this march, because also the political parties have actually reported that they will be having their own march on the 12th, which is going to be sometime next week, Wednesday. And it is believed that COPE, UDM, EFF, and DA, and other parties have actually decided to have their own political march. So I don't know whether today these political parties will be taking part, but it's something that one will actually be waiting to see, as I'm actually going to be going to Church Square just to see what the mood is like and to see if that march would actually be a success.
Well, I'm curious. The Pretoria March, there were also a couple of reports over the last day or two that that people who were already camping out in Church Square were being threatened and intimidated by the ANC Youth League. Now, Lionel, we all know the ANC Youth League is only about 30 people strong anymore, because all the good people and all the sensible people left with Julius Malema. But for a moment, if we consider that there are people who probably are worried about safety and security, I saw Solim Simanga, the mayor of Tshwane, saying this morning that on Twitter that the march is legal and that people are encouraged to join it if they feel like they want to. It's not a political party march. The Ahmed Kathrada Foundation, Save SA, OUTA, there are a lot of civil society initiatives there. Are you going under any guise, or are you just going as a citizen?
I'm going as a citizen and a journalist just to basically report what is actually happening on the ground. But it's quite interesting that you've mentioned that they actually got the permission, and the permission might have come later, because I believe Mark Harewood was locked in the High Court trying to really get permission. And from what it sounds like, it feels like it sounded like the application was actually tampered with, where they were saying that some papers were missing, and as a result, they couldn't be granted a permission to really march today. So that is good news to know that the current political party that is actually ruling in terms of Metro, they've actually granted them permission. However, with regard to security, there were a couple of police as well as Metro police people who were roaming around the streets last night, and this was in response to the attack that actually took place the day before. So people were actually around watching a bit of videos where they were reporting about the figures such as Julius Malema, what actually happened in Parliament. And from what I saw, this was just basically to infuse some positive spirit for people people to really engage in the march, to really see what the march is actually all about, because they believe that the country has been captured and they believe that the country is not really heading in the right direction. And as a result, that people have to stand together and to mobilize something that will really change the direction where the country is going. But just to add to this, I actually did ask one guy who's actually asked not to be named, who's, who was part of the organizing people. I asked him, do you really think this match is really all about making sure that South Africans come together? Because if it is, why didn't we see Save SA having to really rally behind the youth when they actually wanted, when they were marching against Fees Must Fall? Why aren't we seeing Save SA whenever they are
Save SA was only formed after Fees Must Fall happened.
Yes.
So they weren't in existence. So how could how could they have joined anybody?
But I actually asked because there were also other members of like the outer of this world who actually were there. So I wanted to see what is the basis of this march.
Again, outer
in my own
but I mean, there are answers to all these questions. This is not a matter for you know, unguided opinion. Outer were originally called the opposition to Toll. You remember they were against SANRAL at that point. So they had a very narrow interest. So what the hell would they be doing at a Fees Must Fall protest? Now they've changed to I think the organization Undoing Tax Abuse, which means they have a reason to be there. I mean, there are explanations for all of these things. And let's not forget that the majority of the country might not have actually taken to the streets for Fees Must Fall, but most of us were with them. So it's kind of a false equivalent.
But in a way, I mean, as a journalist, you got to throw these things just to see the basis of why the match is taking place. So I was just basically playing devil's advocate. And it was quite interesting that you are answering this, but they couldn't really answer it.
Well, because they didn't exist before this in the case of Save SA. And in Arta's case, they were a very small organization that was just trying to stand up to SANRAL and their extortion of our money. But Lionel, it's a good point.
I think
if we start pointing fingers at each other, we're never going to be able to rally together for anything. And at this point, our common enemy being corruption, being a complete disestablishment of the state and a capture of the state by one family and a president who seems beholden to them, this is a much greater priority than who did and didn't join in on previous marches. Let's not forget the history of this country is not just about the liberation of the country by the ANC. The ANC could never have done it on their own. There was an international community behind them. We mustn't forget that there was a referendum where even the white majority said enough is enough. We mustn't forget that there were people like the UDF. There were people like the Helen Suzmans and the likes of them in those days who had done as much. And let's not forget Azapo and the PAC and the many people who are just ridden roughshod over by the ANC in their quest to be recognized as the only people who liberated this country. It took a lot more than one party to make things happen in South Africa, and it'll take more than one party to make the ANC realize their mistake today.
True that. And I think we also need to just mention the church members of our communities, because they also played a critical role. And it was quite actually interesting to see some of them, church leaders, actually at the march, having to be praying and having to actually gather around the umbrella of actually trying to save South Africa. So this is actually going to be quite a historical moment, but it is something that one would actually be waiting to see what is actually going to transpire at 9 o'clock, because we believe that at 9, the march people would actually have assembled in Church Square, and from there, they will be marching to Union Building. So most of the reporting will actually be done either later on today or tomorrow morning.
Thank you so much, Lionel. We'll speak to you later. There's Lionel. He's from the Laws of Life show and giving us an update. He's off to Pretoria today, just like Brent Lindekew. And we spoke to John in Limpopo. And we'll take your thoughts and your calls. If you want to Skype us on Cliff Central, one word, that means that you can call just from your phone wherever you may be. And if you'd like to WhatsApp us, 079-748-2090. This just in, people say they're also gathering on Curzon Road Bridge over the N1 and Grosvenor Road. Apparently huge banners and people standing in the rain. They don't give a shit.
Ooh.
Yeah, they're not afraid. People getting out there and doing their thing. So if you want to join that conversation, you're more than welcome to. Here's Candace Mama from one of our other shows with Dumi Shomasha, and she's busy talking about today. Take a listen to this.
Go. When you're ready.
Okay.
Should I edit
that? I think it would be... Sorry.
I really should have edited this.
It's all good. I'll edit.
So I think everyone should be worried about the junk status right now. You know, it impacts all of us. I think most of us don't even understand what junk status really means. We're like, eh, well, you know, what's that going to do to us, you know, in any way. But I think the biggest problem is junk status reflects more how the country's being run than it is just about, you know, our own pockets and how that's going to impact interest rates and, you know, how we buy, what we buy and where we live. But of course, that is all a reflection of how the government is just running the country amok. And am I happy with the new finance minister? I'm struggling to keep up with who the new finance minister is. I think, you know, I mean, we've had so many in a short space of time, but I think it was a big mistake to replace Praveen Gordhan.
That's Candace Mama. Also from one of our shows, Lesego Mapanga, who's on Unplugged and In Charge. Take a listen to what he had to say yesterday.
Okay, so how do I feel about the downgrade? To be dead honest, theoretically, I know it's a bad thing, but in actual reality, I don't think it really impacts me much. My living standards and quality of life will remain the same. I think... for a lot of people who, let me put it this way, for a lot of the poor, right, it's not going to make much of a difference. For people in the middle class, people like me without real debt or anything like that, quality of life pretty much stays the same. I think really this type of stuff really hits the top end of the market, you know? So guys who are losing percentages and shares or whatever the case may be, I think it affects them more than it affects the man in the street. There are a lot of things that have already been broken in South Africa, and it's not like this will almost break them even more. If something is shattered, it's shattered. And then with that being said, the new finance minister... there was nothing wrong with the previous one. So you're fixing something that wasn't broken. This is the issue. In terms of competencies, whether Meliska Alkaba can do a better job or not, only time can tell. The only thing that we do know is that Praveen was brilliant and now he's no longer there. And those are very big shoes to fill. So I think that's the fundamental issue. And obviously, as a normal man on the street, what do we do now? You do what you've always been doing. You try to stride in your career. You try and build. You try and do your own thing. Entrepreneurs must be entrepreneurs. I think this country, really, we need a very strong SMME, small and medium enterprises, micro enterprises. We need that sector to be strengthened, to be better, to be put on the front foot, to be more supported. I think economically... for the normal man in the streets, I think that's what we can do about it.
Slightly contradicting himself there, but there we go. That's Lesego saying, on one hand, that small business and business people need to be empowered, but then saying at the same time he thinks only they will be affected by the downgrade. So if that's the case, then the downgrade's bad for all of us.
The universal opinion, though, is always with the question, what do you think of the new finance minister? There's always the... before they give a response.
Which is unfortunate.
Like it's a loaded question.
But it shouldn't be about the personality. I mean, for all we know, Malusi Gigaba is a really, really nice guy. For all we know, he's a terrific human being, but that's got nothing to do with it.
It's about the job.
It's about the numbers.
And it's about what he will or won't do, we'll have to wait to see that.
The work that he does, yeah.
Here's Olu from KZN. Listen to this.
So to be honest, I mean, the junk status is obviously, I can assume that it's a bad thing. I'm losing sleep about it would be a lie because
you don't stop sleeping. Well, I think that's enough from Olu KZ.
Is he asleep?
Olu sounds like he just hit a blunt.
Just woke
before.
Up.
Yeah, for sure.
No, he just woke up, guys.
We did ask everybody to submit their thoughts, so they have. Some of them, some of these thoughts are great. Some of them, not so much.
Olu probably just woke up. Shame.
Yeah. You know what? And that's okay too. If you'd like to call us, Cliff Central on Skype, that's one word, CLIFFCENTRAL. And you can join the conversation. A couple of messages coming through on a WhatsApp this morning. That's 0797482090. The small town of Howick is meeting at the park near the waterfall to rally and protest at 9 a.m. There are people.
Wow, Howick.
Yeah, Howick, a tiny little town like that. That's where Crazy Rob lives, who calls us every other day. There are MK veterans lined up outside Lutuli House.
You know, they had said that not a single person should dare going to Lutuli House because they will very swiftly be taken care of by them. So don't go.
Hold up.
Don't go to Lutuli House. You will be taken care of.
Khalemo Mutlante in the, I think he's in the Daily Maverick today. He's written an interesting article about MPs voting against Zuma not being guilty of misconduct. As far as he's concerned, voting with your conscience is essential. That's our former president, Khalemo Mutlante. Has anyone noticed how quiet Thabo Mbeki is?
Yeah,
is he expected to say anything? I don't know.
Well, hey, maybe he's just still busy being chancellor-esque at UNISA for now.
I don't know, but do you think at points he sits there and just like smiles and thinks, oh, look at what's happened to you now.
I think he's upset. I think he's genuinely upset.
And he could be single-handedly dancing to the song we were talking about yesterday. Mm. We need a hero.
Yeah, he could. Wouldn't we like to have that kind of leadership
just
now?
Looking at himself in the mirror going, right. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, for sure. So you can get hold of us too if you'd like to this morning. We chat on WhatsApp and even on Twitter. If you'd like to at cliffcentral.com, and then we can give updates to everybody else. I see lots and lots of people marching all across the country and getting ready this early, which means it's going to be a long day. Make sure that you're stocked up and you're ready to go. Because for a lot of people, it's not as easy as it looks. We got Ranjeni. Awesome. Ranjeni Munsami's on the line. She's been working like a slave over the last few days, churning out articles, churning out interviews. She's been present at just about every press release. I don't know how you manage a press conference, rather. I don't know how you manage, Ranjeni. Aren't you exhausted?
Oh, gosh. Gert, I feel like a soldier in a war zone. You know, I feel like I'm in downtown Damascus right now. You know, bombs falling all over. Maybe a callous example to use, but it's just, you know, it's been nonstop since we got that story last Monday that Pravin Gordhan has been recalled. You know, it's just, there's a lot of journalists with PTSD right now.
Listen, I need to know, Ranjeni, with everything you've looked at over the last 2 weeks, you've been inside the ANC, outside the ANC, you've got really good sources everywhere. What do you think the ANC are expecting from today? Because there are people gathering already in the rain in various parts of South Africa. They want to make their voices heard. Do you think that Jacob Zuma slept well last night, doesn't give a damn?
Yeah, Jacob Zuma doesn't give a damn. I don't think he really cares. He still believes that these voices are not reflective of the ANC, and he's told us before, Gareth, that the ANC is more important than the country. So whoever keeps him in power is who's important. And I think what cushions him at the moment is the fact that they are not strong voices speaking out in the structures and leadership of ANC, and that all these other voices are simply irrelevant. And, you know, they will also look at it through the prism of the DA march, you know, and, you know, I suppose wherever Jacob Zuma is, he'll think it's quite funny that, you know, that the DA is going to be marching near Lutuli House and the MK veterans are there like a rebel army in the Johannesburg city center. So he's probably giggling, you know, in anticipation of people getting hurt and beaten up.
Are there any other interesting voices that have suddenly spoken out? I saw an article from Khalemo Mutlante about how voting next week, the week after, the 18th, against the president in a vote of no confidence would not, according to Khalemo Mutlante, amount to misconduct. Has Thabo Mbeki said anything? Are there any other old stalwarts who've come out?
I had an interview with Halima Motlanthe yesterday, and he knows the ANC inside out. He knows the ANC constitution. He served as a secretary general and as a deputy president. So he's saying that there's nothing in the ANC constitution that describes the vote in parliament as an act of misconduct. So, you know, the threats of disciplinary actions are neither here nor there. So that's very interesting. And he says if he was in parliament, he would vote against President Zuma. And he's also telling people who got fired not to quit. He's telling ANC MPs not to quit, to stick it out, to fight it out. It is interesting. We haven't had anything that strong from anybody else in the ANC, certainly not from President Mbeki. I think with President Mbeki, his view is that the entire leadership of the ANC is to blame. The National Executive Committee is to blame. It's not just President Zuma, and therefore the moving President Zuma wouldn't necessarily do the trick. Yes, but that's what I'm saying, that, you know, inside the ANC, other than, you know, like the veterans who've already retired, you know, they're not strong voices, and that is why President Zuma still feels safe.
Do you think that the Guptas feel safe?
The Guptas always feel safe because they're barricaded away from the South African population, and they always feel that they're better than us and we don't matter. Our voices don't matter. Our country doesn't matter. Our treasury matters. And they've got, you know, in their view, they've got hold of the treasury. And, you know, for them, they can start. The most important thing for them is that they need to start transacting again and be able to move money within the country. And I think that the cabinet reshuffle is a major victory for them in that regard, because they believe that their doors will now reopen. So, you know, this I think that the voice of South African people, people marching, it doesn't impact on them. It doesn't go near them, so they don't care.
Ranjini, with all the people that you know inside the ANC, is there a disquiet? Is there a feeling of some kind of a very obvious split, or is it something which they're all trying to cover up and hide away because it's embarrassing, almost like a family that has an alcoholic?
Oh, certainly, Gareth, you know, you can't put the genie back in the bottle now after what happened last week. And there are certainly deep divisions. The ANC leadership does what it always does. And I think that with the National Working Committee, there was no other outcome that could have been expected, and I think people knew that. I think the messaging that came out of that meeting was important for ANC members on the ground and in other structures about what they need to do. And I think that there were, you know, a lot of people are despondent about what Gwede Mantashe said and the outcome of the NWC, but there was sufficient room in there to signal to ANC members that all is not well, that Ramaphosa, Mantashe and Kize have not withdrawn the criticism of President Zuma. What they said was it was a mistake to fight publicly, but they have not withdrawn what they said. And, you know, the fact that he did not consult them was in violation of the ANC's Polokwane resolution. They've emphasized that. So I think that, you know, this is going to unfold. It's going to be a long, messy, and ugly battle, Gareth. There's no quick solution. Today's march is not going to solve any problem. It's going to reflect the unhappiness of South Africans, but it's not going to, you're not going to get the end result now. Neither is, deep inside, I don't think that vote is going to succeed. You may get ANC members voting against the president, but I don't think it's going to succeed. I think that South Africans need to buckle down. It's going to be a long, hard road. Halima Motlanthe was saying that in my interview with him today. It's going to get messy, but his words were, the best guarantor of a democracy is an activist population, and I think that's what we need to buckle down to now.
Well, today is a day full of protests. There's going to be a lot of activity. You mentioned the MK veterans outside of Lutuli House this morning, but where will you be? What are you going to be covering? It's hard to choose with all these.
We're kind of monitoring the situation. Our team is all, you know, trying to be in the main points, but, you know, we need to monitor it because I think the biggest concern right now is that, you know, there mustn't be violence. And, you know, from the situation in the Johannesburg city center looks extremely threatening at the moment with all those, I don't know if you've seen the pictures, you know, of all those people in camouflage uniform outside Lutuli House. So that, you know, that certainly looks like a hotspot right now. So hopefully, you know, people will be safe and, you know, we won't have any kind of casualties from today. But, you know, I'll go where the news is.
This is a curious situation because you glibly referred to it as a rebel army just now. But actually, to have an armed wing of a political party, there must be a problem with that from the state. I mean, surely there can't be another army inside the state when the state's army itself is not deployed.
And that, Gareth, is precisely why the acting National Police Commissioner, Khumalo Phahlane's press conference last night was so annoying. Because, you know, he was saying, oh, no, the ANC has just called its members to Lutuli House. You know, it's got nothing to do with him. But those people have threatened violence. They said that they're combat ready. Mm. What does that mean? You know, it means that they're ready for combat. That's not normal in a democracy. They're in camouflage uniform, you know, and you can't, I mean, you know, you have security guards, you know, all over this country protecting property and people, but they're not security guards. They're threatening violence. And the fact that the National Police Commission doesn't see anything wrong with that, extremely worrying. And it shows the attitude that's going to be reflected in the police. You know, in between Figile Mbalula's message the other day about policemen must be ready to shoot, and this attitude of the acting National Police Commissioner, it's an extremely worrying situation, guys. You have to fear for our democracy and for South Africans who are willing to stand up and fight.
The other thing, just before I let you go, because I know you've got a busy day ahead, there's been so much erratic behavior from the ANC, and maybe this deployment of the MK veterans is just the cherry on top, because we see increasingly desperate moves by the administration to secure themselves and to force through their will. I mean, even the cabinet reshuffle could be called a desperate move and kind of a last-ditch attempt. Are we seeing the death throes of this administration? Are we seeing an administration without any strategy?
Without any strategy, but, you know, also without any kind of political capital, because they basically don't trust people anymore. They have to defend themselves against civilians. And that is what happens in authoritarian governments, you know, where they turn on the civilian population who's unarmed and who is simply demonstrating. When, you know, you use jackboot tactics against civilians in order to kind of stamp your authority. So, yeah, you know, They played out now, guys. You know, certainly for President Zuma, he does. What else can he do now? What else can he threaten? He's fired Pravin Gordhan and Khadisi Jonas. I think we're not afraid of him anymore. The downgrade has happened. So, you know, we're in the zone now. You know, we're fighting back. He can't do anything more to us now. It's just us that can do something to him, and that is to speak out.
Ranjini, you said earlier that South Africans need to buckle down and be prepared for a long ride. I mean, how long is this ride, the way that you see it? Is it past 2019? I mean, how long are you talking here?
Mabale, President Zuma's term as ANC president ends in December. So as we head towards December, he's going to become more and more lame duck because people realize that he no longer will hold power in the ANC. You know, his trusted lieutenants in the ANC are going to start looking for, you know, who else they can back and where they can seek cover. So I think it's going to start unraveling. His faction is going to unravel as we head towards December. And certainly, from January next year, President Zuma's capital is completely expended. You know, he's sitting there at the mercy of the new ANC, whoever that might be, elected in December. But he no longer controls the ANC. So, you know, I think that would be the turning point. But we could hit that turning point earlier. I think that vote in Parliament is essential to demonstrate that, you know, that President Zuma remains under attack. I think that this march today is the start of an of civil society activism that is going to continue. And the more pressure there is against the ANC and the government, the more they'll realize that they can't just, you know, keep carrying President Zuma along. So it depends on how this battle is fought. That would be the timeline. It depends on the whether they succumb to pressure. But certainly, I think that from January next year, I think, you know, there should be some sense of relief.
Thank you very much, Ranjeni, and keep writing all those very insightful articles. I'm sure the ANC love you for it.
Agwede Mantashe is my best friend, Gareth.
Uncle Gwede.
You send each other good night messages and kissy emojis at night.
Thanks, Ranjeni. Ranjeni Mansami from the Daily Maverick. You can read all of her articles on the Daily Maverick. South Africa's one of the few independent voices with real journalists working for it.
Yes.
They do a damn fine job.
And the guys at ANN 7.
ANN, what?
Mm-hmm.
What?
What did we work out yesterday?
They do a damn
the 7
fine
stands
job.
For?
For G.
Yes.
Because it's the seventh letter in the alphabet, and G stands for?
Gupta.
But then a lot of people saying, no, it's 7 days a week, you idiots.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Okay. Africa yeah. News Network, 7 days a week.
Correct.
Okay.
Apparently, SA Unites, I just got this from Nick. He says they're all gathering in Parkhurst, Johannesburg, Jan Smuts, and Rothsee. And a lot of people gathering on bridges across the highways. We have this protest thing all wrong, says somebody else. There should be four places that mass protest and disruption should be taking place. 1, Nkandla. 2, Sachsenwald. 3, the Union Buildings. 4, Parliament in Cape Town. The showerhead king has retreated to his castle with Johnny Blue, and the peasants are protesting in the village where they should be physically storming the castle. Sure.
Sure. Look, I mean, I can understand that passion, but you heard Ranjeni. She herself is concerned about those, you know, those combatants from the MK vets that are assembled outside Luthuli House. Storming the castle. there are people ready to, you know, ready and waiting for you at that castle.
Yeah, I've seen also a bunch of civil society people claiming that we need to have sacrifices, like some people are going to have to get hurt and die. I don't think
whoa.
I don't think that's very sensible. Yeah, exactly. That is not a sensible thing to be telling anybody.
Comrades, we've gone too far.
You can't say that there needs to be sacrifices when you know very well you yourself wouldn't sacrifice yourself.
And right. You know, like, what's scary about that message is you're preempting the sacrifice. You know, usually in this sort of situation, it would be unfortunate if someone gets hurt, but this person is already planning, like, okay, who's gonna take one for the team? Like,
no.
Johnny in the corner.
I mean, the key word in civil society is civil.
Yeah,
be civil to each other. Somebody says that Ranjeni hit the nail on the head, and other people complaining that we haven't covered their protest yet. Well, you can tell us about what you're doing. You can WhatsApp us on 0797482090. You can Skype us on Cliff Central, one word, and we will put you on. And we want to hear your story. We want to hear where you are, what you're doing. We need to catch up with what everybody's up to this morning. Almost 8 o'clock. We've got an interview coming up in a moment or two with some very, very funny people because we thought we need some levity on a Friday.
Always.
And you know, we're doing April fooling around, so we've got comedians popping in. Lihlem Simang and Warren Robertson are our special guests this morning after 8 o'clock. Mubs, do you want to throw in any other news?
Do you want a bit of Pope news?
The Pope? We haven't heard from him in ages.
I know, but there's been news stories coming out left, right, and center around
about the Pope?
Regarding the Pope, Gareth.
Go on.
Okay, so a New Jersey teenager earlier this week pleaded guilty to attempting to provide material support to terrorists in what the media have called an ISIS-inspired effort to kill Pope Francis.
Wow.
Guys.
This actually happened back in 2015 already, but the teenager admitted earlier this week in court, he's admitting the guilt. Santos Colon, 17 years old.
Colon?
Yes. I mean,
his name is Colon?
Well, it's C-O-L-O-N. Yeah. I don't know if it's Colon or Colon. I don't know.
I kind of like Colon. Let's go with Colon.
I'm sticking with Colon.
What's his first name?
Santos.
Santos Colon.
It's probably Colon or something like that, but you know. So the 17-year-old admitted on Monday in a federal court in Camden, New Jersey, that he attempted to conspire with a sniper to shoot the Pope. This was during the Pope's visit to Philadelphia back in 2015. He also admitted to being involved in an attempt to set off explosive devices in the surrounding areas. What is going on? What did the Pope have to do?
Exactly. The Pope of all people.
So Colon engaged with someone that he thought would be the sniper from June to August of 2015. Turns out the person that he was actually engaging with was an undercover FBI employee. And this is how Colon got caught. The attack did not take place. And the FBI agents arrested him.
Huh.
Goodness gracious.
What an idiot. What a moron, right?
Yes. Oh, yeah.
And he's just 17 years old.
Stupid dickhead. Now he's got his whole life to sit in prison.
As if his life wasn't tough enough with the surname like Colon.
Colon, yeah.
He also faces a fine of $250,000.
All right.
But yeah, I mean,
that's not a lot.
They'll definitely be looking to lock him up for some time.
Also
pay a fine.
He doesn't have a whole lot of money, right?
I don't know. At 17, I don't know. Whoa.
Yeah. Whoa is right.
See, I know my mom would just leave me if I did something like that. They would not even try to come up with money. They're just like, yeah, well.
Bye-bye, see ya.
You're in this on your own.
Yeah. All right. Apparently, Joel Netchitanze wrote a very interesting article this morning, too. I'll see if I can find that and we'll tweet it out. If you've got updates, then you can tweet me, you can WhatsApp me, you can WeChat me, and we will put them out there and let other people know. Apparently, that Bears Nor Deer March is becoming bigger and bigger every minute. All kinds of people from all over the place joining that one. It seems to be the biggest one so far. The rest scheduled to start from about 11 o'clock this morning. So it's early days. Don't get too excited. I reckon those MK vets are going to have to go and get lunch at some point.
Oh, is that then the gap?
No. I would not. Please, I think that the most important thing we can all do here is maintain a calm, cool head. No one needs to destroy property. And no one needs to hurt each other. It's just completely unnecessary. A difference of opinion is what civilized people can deal with in conversation. They don't have to resort to violence. It's a stupid and animal way to behave if you do. What did you want to say, Lucas? You came in here with a look on your face like you needed to get something off your chest. No. Lucas, by the way, said this morning he was dressed like a protester just in case the protesters stop him. He can go, no, comrade, I'm joining you.
What's being dressed like a protester? Please explain that first.
See, you know you dress like a protester, you know.
What do you mean I dress like a protester? Enlighten me.
Well, let's move from that.
is it because he's wearing black? Right.
Yeah, you know. Yeah.
Listen, I do a black Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday.
I forgot you were colorblind. I know one ANC vet, MMK veteran. Mm-hmm. So I asked him, like, why, what makes you to go to Lithuli House? Do you get paid or what? And he was like, yeah, they normally get free trips in a year. They'll be taken to a holiday somewhere.
Oh, really?
And that kind of things, that is what makes them to act like they will die for ANC or they will do anything for ANC.
Oh, so they
ANC.
Get free stuff?
Yeah, they get free stuff. Yeah. Yeah.
I know people in the ANC, they don't got free stuff.
Where can I sign up to be on that list?
I don't think you look like a veteran.
Yeah, but we don't want to believe these conspiracy theories. I think that there are just a bunch of people who think that the ANC is the only way that they'll ever get money. And that's the truth. For a lot of people, that's like the reason they support them. Now, that's not a good reason, but it's a reason.
Yeah, but I was chilling with him drinking, and then he started talking the truth. And I was like, I see this whiskey.
And then who paid for the bill?
Who paid for the bill?
Yeah. You and me.
It's us, of course.
Oh,
taxpayers.
Yeah.
So
he didn't?
Someone says here that her worker comes from Alex and can't get a taxi. It's been 2 hours. Drivers keep sending them from one taxi to another. So I don't know what that's all about. Lots of posts of Joburg protests. Apparently Cape Town is very quiet. Only two DA people in the streets. Otherwise there's nothing. And then someone sent a picture of an AK-47 and a bottle of tequila. Ready for today's march.
Aye,
and it's
guys,
only 8 a.m. Just joking. No, no, it's a paintball gun. Don't panic.
Well, even if it is, we don't need... Yeah, take a little trusty bottle of Sum Sum, depending on the day.
Yeah, there are little groups of people on street corners too. But you know, these things start small, and then for all you know, you could end up joining a much bigger march later on. So someone sent a picture of some people on the corner of some street. I can't even tell where it is.
I see in some of these pictures, you know, every now and again, there's a police van as there as well. So...
Yeah.
You know, the police are also going to be watching you.
Yeah, don't forget our new Minister of Police is a man-child.
Yo, Rez Matez, guys, I forgot about him.
Don't take any chances. All right, we come to Lihle and Warren just now, just to help us feel a little bit better this Friday morning. And we will take your thoughts and your calls and speak to you about what's on your mind on this Friday, where a lot of South Africans are taking to the streets to show their dissatisfaction with the president, with the ANC, with the fact that this government seems to have completely ignored all of our calls up to now. So now we'll show them that we mean business, right? 8 o'clock or just after, we'll be back with those comedians as part of our April fooling around next. Cliffcentral.com.